This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Back with Brother Junaid Dar, who's hosting a discussion on prophecy. He's focusing with one of our sheikhs on the subject of the Antichrist. Short break, and we're back to continue. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, brothers and sisters, to another one of our live episodes of Huda Tonight. And I'm your host for the evening, Junaid Dar. Dear brothers and sisters, I'd like to begin by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this golden opportunity to speak about His beautiful deen. Furthermore, I'd also like to make mention of the blessed name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, dear viewers, as you have been following us, we are running a series here, or a discussion on the signs of the last day. And it's important for us to understand this subject, as the last day is on the pinnacles of our faith. No one knows when this day is going to occur, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us signs, has given us major and minor signs. Why is that the case? So that we understand that we are edging closer and closer to this great day as Allah has described it. From amongst these major signs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned many, but from amongst the major is the coming of the Dajjal. We've all heard the stories, we've all heard the descriptions of the Dajjal, so much so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that there is no fitna, there is no test, there is no trial or tribulation more severe than the coming of the Dajjal. So much so that every prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to this earth warned people about the coming of this great fitna, the coming of the Dajjal. So much so, my dear brothers and sisters, that our discussion today is not one just on theory or a philosophical discussion, but we want to look at the practicality of this individual, the Dajjal. Who is he? Why is he being sent? And what's the connection with what is taking place today? If we look at the world today, especially those events taking place in and around Syria, we can try to understand what is really taking place. But inshallah ta'ala, to explain this topic, let us introduce our guest and then we can go straight into our questions. If I can turn over to Sheikh Karim Abu Zaid, who is the Imam of Masjid Darul Tawheed in Colorado, the USA. Sheikh, I'd like to begin by giving you a warm welcome as always and begin by saying Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair, Brother Junaid. It's always a pleasure to be with you and with the viewers of Huda TV.
Okay, thank you very much. Dear viewers, also like to turn to you at this point and remind you of our phone numbers. You can see them running across your screens. Please do call us. You've got two numbers there. And if you're calling outside of Egypt, don't forget to use the code, which is 002. What are your questions on the topic of the Dajjal? What misconceptions do you have? And what are your inputs on this subject? The phone lines are open. And please do ask the Sheikh any question on the topic as you feel free. Sheikh, if we can begin from the top. And we're talking about the signs, and in our previous episode you gave us a mashallah excellent introduction. Could I ask you to just give us the importance of why we should study the signs of the last day?
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Jazakallah khair for the question. It's a good opening. One day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was traveling with his companions. He requested to address them. Well, hadith sahih Imam Muslim, hadith Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma. And he in brief told them, it is one of the tasks of a messenger sent to his people to let them know about what they will face.
Okay.
Of trials and tribulations. And I'm telling you so that you take your precautions and you know about what awaits you. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to us about this particular fitna of the Antichrist, in particular, al-Masih al-Dajjal, and he given us a tremendous amount of information that can be beneficial.
Okay.
As for the importance of learning these signs, like we mentioned in a previous episode, it is part of believing in Allah and His Messenger.
Okay.
A lot of these hadith are authentic and were said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his ummah.
Okay.
Now, believing in the Messenger requires the belief in what he said as well.
Sure.
Also, to prevent or to protect ourselves from falling into the fitna. For example, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi hadith Abi Huraira radiallahu an, al-hadith sahih Imam Muslim, he said something very interesting, that there are three fitan, okay, trials. When they emerge, لا ينفع نفسا إيمانها لم تكن آمنت من قبل أو كسبت في إيمانها خيرا. When they come out, your faith will be useless.
Okay.
So the key here is you prepare iman, iman according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, not the iman Allah is in my heart, but the iman that believe of the heart,
okay,
the statement of the tongue, and the action of the heart and the limbs. So okay, iman, and the iman that increases and decreases, not the iman according to al-Khawarij, according to al-Murji'ah, iman Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So if you do not prepare iman, the definition of iman, before these three trials come out, you can develop iman when they are out.
Sure.
ثلاث إذا خرجنا لا ينفع نفسا إيمانها لم تكن آمنت من قبل أو كسبت في وسمى. He named it Dajjal.
Okay.
The one that we're supposed to address tonight, the beast, the animal which will come out, speak to people.
Okay.
To people, and the sun rising from the west.
Sure.
So now my job is to prepare to face these trials and tribulations with iman. This is one of the benefits. Another benefit I think is. You know, we do have that craving, you know, to know the unseen. People fall into the traps of fortune tellers, cookies, Chinese restaurant cookies, reading of the bones. And why would you engage on heresy like this when you have قال الله قال رسول الله, when you have authentic text that can fulfill that craving that you have towards the knowledge of tomorrow, of the unseen.
Sure.
And it's authentic, and it will help, it will increase your faith. Lastly, so we can move on, there are certain rulings. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, told us what to do when the Antichrist is in earth. Don't even attempt, even if you have full confidence in your faith, don't even attempt to approach the guy or face him, because he will get to you. So you need to flee, you need to run away. You need to recite the beginning of Surah Al-Kahf, for example.
Okay.
You need to pray five times, regardless of the extended time, especially the first and the second and the third day of his stay on earth. There are religious rulings which are related to these signs that we need to learn.
Okay, excellent, Sheikh. Thank you for that introduction. I would like to now move over to a report that the channel has prepared on the topic of the last days. Then we'll come back to our discussion, hopefully. Dear brothers and sisters, let's move over to a report talking about the last days. And I would like for all of you to watch this very carefully. And at the same time, when we finish the report, please do join us with your questions or your queries on this subject. I know you've read lots of books on the subject. You've listened to so many discussions on it. But today it's different. We want to make it a practical program where we are looking at the reality of the Dajjal, what circumstances is going to come in. Is the environment now that we're looking at, is it something similar to that that's being described? Let's watch this report, and we'll see you all in a few moments.
Resurrection, the judgment day, the hour. Many names, but the end is certainly one. A prophecy predicted by Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Even paganism admit the reality of this prophecy. A day unlike our human days, unlike anything we ever witnessed. Humanity from Adam till the last generation are standing all together. The sun is right above our heads. The heat is incredible. There is no shade but Allah's shade. Family members are estranged towards each other. Each cares not but for himself. Some are shaded, others will sweat non-stop. Some are frightened, others will feel peace. A sight so frightening in a way that words cannot describe. Prior to the judgment day will be major tribulations. First of all, Al-Mahdi will emerge from Saudi. His name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah, from the lineage of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Muslims will pledge allegiance to him, forming an army. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, "You'll conquer the Arabian Peninsula, then conquer Persia, then Constantinople. That's when the Dajjal will emerge. Al-Masih al-Dajjal, a deceiver, an imposter, and a liar, claiming to be a god, will emerge from Isfahan, a city in Iran, Persia, will be followed by 70,000 Jews wearing chawls. The Dajjal will have what seems like heaven in a hand and hell in another hand. Of course, with Allah's will, he'll walk the earth in 40 days, a day like a year, a day like a month, a day like a week, and the rest of his days are like our days. He'll be killed by Al-Masih ibn Maryam, the son of Maryam, who will descend from heaven to fulfill his destiny. Both have the same name, Al-Masih, a fitna that many people will have it mixed up, subhanallah. Yet the believers will recognize the difference, and Allah will guide them through until Al-Masih Isa, the son of Maryam, will kill the Dajjal in Jerusalem. Peace and harmony will at last prevail. Justice will be restored, and beasts will not harm the kindest of creatures. Other signs will still follow until the judgment day is due. How close are we from Al-Mahdi? Will we witness these prophecies? How many signs occurred already? Will we recognize the fitna and see the truth in it? Or will we be deceived? Allah knows best.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, dear viewers, after watching that short but informative report talking about the coming of the Dajjal and the Mahdi and Isa alayhi salam as well. Now, Sheikh, if we can get back to our discussion, the report, and prior to the report, we heard about so many different signs. Can I ask you to give us the order of these signs and what are these major signs?
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah, wa shahadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ahdahu la sharika lah, wa shahadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. في صحيح الإمام مسلم حديث حذيفة ابن أسيد الغفاري رضي الله عنه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, one day he entered the masjid, he found his companions sitting in a circle, and he asked them, ما تذكرون? What are you studying? What are you talking about? قالوا يا رسول الله. They said, O Messenger of Allah, نذاكر الساعة. We're talking about the hour. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّهَا لَن تَأْتِي. It will not come حَتَّى تَرَوْنَ قَبْلَهَا عَشْرَ آيَاتٍ.
Okay.
Until you see 10 signs. These are the 10 major signs of the hour. وَسَمَّ. And he named the beast, the smoke, الدجال, the Antichrist, the second coming of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Gog and Magog, Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, and three landslides.
Okay.
Major earthquakes.
Sure.
One in the east, one in the west, one in the Arabian Peninsula. وَآخِرُ ذَلِكَ. And the last of these signs, نَارٌ تَخْرُجُ مِنَ الْيَمَنِ. A fire which will erupt in Yemen.
Okay.
تَطْرُدُ النَّاسَ إِلَى مَحْشَرِهِمْ. It will expel people to the place of gathering. Now, a lot of people may assume that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated the order of the happening of these signs, and this is incorrect, because the same narrator, Hudhayfa ibn Asid al-Ghifari, in Sahih Muslim, narrated the same identical hadith, but he changed the order.
Okay.
Himself, not another narrator. So that tells us, or this tells us, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not place this in order for us.
Sure.
Now, a lot of the scholars, this invited a lot of the scholars to do their what is known ijtihad, individual reasoning.
Okay.
The best of the work is the work of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, the author of Fathul Bari, the one who explained Sahih al-Bukhari,
okay,
his famous volumes, Fathul Bari. What did he say? He said the major signs are two sets.
Right.
And like it in the report, he kind of indicated this, and it will be paused with a time of peace.
Okay.
And one of the characteristics of the major signs anyways, Hadith al-Hakim, في المستدرك حديث أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, الأمارات خرزات منظومات في سلك. The major signs are like beads put in a string.
Okay.
When that string is cut, what happened to these beads?
They will come one.
They will
the
come
other.
One after another.
Right.
So you know, خروج الدجال نزول عيسى ونزول عيسى خروج يأجوج ومأجوج.
Okay.
When the Dajjal comes out, then Isa will descend.
Sure.
Then Gog and Magog will be released behind that barrier which Dhul Qarnayn placed them, if you read the story in Surah Al-Kahf.
Okay.
So these three signs will come together. They will actually be at the same time. Then earth will experience an era of peace because injustice will be lifted from earth.
Okay.
And Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will establish Islam. He will actually accept no other religion but Islam.
Sure.
He will actually promote peace and justice amongst the humanity, amongst mankind, amongst the Muslims, to the extent that the barakah, the blessing, will come into earth.
Okay.
Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated this in multiple hadith that he said, طوبى لعيش بعد المسيح. Actually, the Prophet himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam wished that he would live around that time because there will be a lot of peace.
Okay.
What a good life it will be. The kids will be playing with the snakes, the wolves will be playing with the sheep, and so forth, and will be a lot of barakah, that the pomegranate skin will cover 12 people, you know, the skin of it. There will be a lot of barakah in earth.
Okay.
After this, pay attention to this, because a lot of the viewers do not pay attention to this. These minor signs which we are experiencing now, and they almost ended, they will reintroduce themselves again.
Okay, subhanAllah.
Yeah, they will come back again. Adultery will start again. The usury will start again. Lying will start again. Then the world will go into deep, deep, deep misguidance. And with this, the second set will come.
Okay.
Beginning with the sun rising from the west, the beast coming out, and ending with that fire.
Sure.
Those are the three, the two sets. So we end up with six signs right here. We know the last sign, which is the fire will erupt out of Yemen, is one of the. So those are seven. Okay. So pay attention here. So the first three sets, what? The Antichrist.
Sure.
Then who?
You mentioned the Antichrist.
Isa will descend because he's going to kill the Antichrist.
Sure, the
then Gog and Magog will come out, right. And Isa alayhi salam, through his dua, will take care of those. So this is the first reset.
Excellent.
Then a break. Huh? Then what? The sun rising from the west.
Okay.
The beast. And then the last of them is that fire will erupt from Yemen. Now we're missing four.
Okay.
The smoke, we don't know. We have no clue. Maybe it will happen in between. The three landslides, the three major earthquakes, we don't know. So this is in but somehow those two sets of three will shape.
And it's Sheikh, it's interesting to note, like you just mentioned now, that the two sets are actually differentiated by a period of peace.
Yes.
And then corruption.
You see, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabiullah Isa, when he descends, he will bring peace into earth. And you see, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, لا تقوم الساعة إلا على شرار الناس. The hour will come when the worst of mankind will be on earth.
Okay, Sheikh, I'll just ask you to hold your thought there. We've got a phone call from Brother Ayman in Egypt. Assalamu alaikum, my brother.
Alaikum salam wa barakatuh. I would like to talk about Dhulqarnayn.
Dhulqarnayn? Okay, go ahead. We are talking about the Dajjal, but go ahead.
They tell you in the Quran, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ Dhulqarnayn قُلْ سَأَتْلَكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرَ. They will ask him about Dhulqarnayn. The Prophet said, I shall recite for you a remembrance for him. So this Dhulqarnayn, he will be made, he will be strong in a land, and God will give him everything. But this, until he reached the setting place of the sun, he will be found it setting it to spring, and there will be people. And then he will. God said in the Quran, he said he will punish them, and his Lord will punish Dhulqarnayn, and then who will make good or God will succeed him, and until then he reached the rising place of the sun.
Okay.
He found the rising people. Who will be? We had appointed
Okay.
The form. So he will say, get me. He will be between the two mountains, and then he will be found there.
Okay.
And then he will be in the folk. He will be understanding and saying, this is Dhulqarnayn, Yagog and Magog will be big mufsidin fil ard, and they will say things that it's not true about God.
Okay, and, Brother Ayman.
Thank you very much. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Brother Ayman. We appreciate your phone call, and we appreciate the lesson on Dhulqarnayn. We will, inshallah ta'ala, come to that in due course when we talk about Gog and Magog. But we thank you for your phone call. Dear brothers and sisters, do call us and do try to stick to the subject of the Dajjal if you can. And the lines are open, so do join us. Sheikh, if we can continue, and I would like to look at some of the reasons or the connection between the coming of the Dajjal and the Mahdi as well. And things are very interlinked here. What is the reason for the interlinction here?
You see, Al-Mahdi is the break Muslims will have.
Okay.
Shaitan is not going to like that. So he's going to release his biggest fitna ever. Of course, Allah wills for this. Allah will permit this to happen. Because I think in the report, they did a good job. Because the announcement of a Dajjal breaking out of his shackles and chains, because we believe, according to Hadith Tamim al-Dari, that he is chained somewhere in an island.
So he's alive now?
According to Hadith Tamim al-Dari.
SubhanAllah.
Yes. Hadith Fatima bint Qais, a famous hadith in the Sunnah fi Sahih Imam Muslim. Now, what will happen is the Armageddon thing, the battle.
Sure.
Of course, like we mentioned in the previous episode, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never used that name Armageddon. He used the word Malhama, okay. A fierce battle or killing, a lot of killing. You see, just for you to get the essence of this, fi Sahih al-Imam Muslim, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was in Kufa,
okay.
Which is part of Iraq. When a thunderstorm erupted, and you know when there is a sandstorm, not a thunderstorm, when the sand mixes with the wind, then you know you can tell that it's kind of reddish, kind of
okay.
Looking atmosphere. A man came running, Yabna Mas'ud, qamat al-sa'a, Yabna Mas'ud, qamat al-sa'a, Yabna Mas'ud, the hour is here. He thought that this is the hour. Look at the scholars, you know, when they know. So he was laying down. He sat calmly, in a calm way. Yani.
Okay.
Then he said, إِنَّهَا لَنْ تَقُمْ إِنَّهَا لَنْ تَقُمْ حَتَّى لَا يُقَسَّمُ مِرَاثٌ وَلَا يُفْرَحُ بِغَنِيمَةٌ
Okay.
The hour will not come until this happens, that the people are not going to distribute the inheritance, nor they will rejoice over the winning which they get out of the booty of war.
Okay.
Then quickly he spoke about the West gathering in huge numbers in Syria. Again, we go back in Syria.
SubhanAllah.
To fight the Muslims.
Okay.
Now the leader of the army will be Imam Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Mahdi, according to Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
Right.
Al-Fatimi, Al-Alawi, Al-Hasani. Those three.
Sure.
Al-Fatimi, from the offspring of Fatima, radiallahu anha, bintu Nabiyina, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alawi, from the offspring of Ali, Hasani.
From Hasan.
From Al-Hasan. And that
right.
differentiate us from Shia al-Rawafid.
Sure.
Because they believe he is Husayni, not Hasani.
Okay, that's interesting.
So that's one difference. So he will actually win that battle. He will actually defeat the West in this battle.
Okay.
Now, upon the ending of this battle, an announcer will make that call. Announcement will be made. Don't rejoice. فَإِنَّ الدَّجَّالَ قَدْ خَلَفَكُمْ فِي دَرَارِيكُمْ The Dajjal is released and he's messing around with your family members back home.
Okay.
So you're getting this? You see the connection here between, and this is why, by the way, they given even though al-Mahdi is a minor sign, but they give it a very particular specific name. They called it the transitional sign.
Right.
Why? Because when al-Mahdi is out, that means the world is transiting from the minor stage to the major science stage. You're okay. Getting that?
Sheikh, just before we continue, I just want to add here, because you made mention of the two, Husayni and Hassan. Is the Mahdi alive today, or is he going to come alive?
You see, al-Mahdi is someone who will be born
okay.
Into the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Sure.
His name matches the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His father's name matches the name of Muhammad ibn Abdullah or okay. Ahmad, these other names that we have. And Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam given us physical specifications of how he will look like. Here is the interesting piece, because shaitan plays with the minds of a lot of people.
Okay.
And we happen to have a lot of people who actually claim that they are al-Mahdi.
That's right.
I mean, personally, I was in Maryland at one time. I was imam there. And then by all of a sudden, I was sitting in my office, knock, 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 and two brothers entered. And this is how they introduced themselves to me. This is Isa ibn Maryam, and this is Imam Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Mahdi. And then I looked at them and said, what about me? Pick me, please. What about me? You need to understand that shaitan sometimes, come and plays with the minds of a lot of people.
Okay.
Making them assume. We had a Waku in the Egyptian TVs the last couple of weeks, I think, who claiming that he's al-Mahdi, or I heard this somehow. So, the funny thing is...
So we've had a Mahdi in Sudan, Mahdi yeah, yeah. in Egypt, Mahdi in Pakistan.
Maho, be careful. I'm going to give a sign right here. I'm going to give a sign to all of those. Al-Mahdi doesn't know himself.
All right.
Until he actually invited to. And he's going to say no. You need to understand that the people will beg him to accept the mission. He's going to say no. So the fact that you're coming out and saying, oh, I'm al-Mahdi, everybody follows me, this is in itself refutes your claim and proves that you are illegitimate.
Okay.
You're getting the point.
Sure.
So just to stop this. Now, if you bring in this back in, you see, Shia al-Rawafid, they have their own portfolio, if I may use the word, of al-Mahdi.
Sure.
He's somebody who is hidden in a tunnel since the year 250 plus somewhere. This is a sci-fi. We could accept it. I mean, we accepted the fact that Dajjal is alive in an island somewhere, chained in an island. But we have a text. But you don't make up that stuff. We accepted the fact that Satan, Iblis, the main one, doesn't die. You understand? We believe that jinn do die, and Iblis is a jinni. But we accepted the fact that Iblis, the one who refused to bow down to Adam, doesn't die. He gets to live because he was given the respite. So we do have a text to establish the fact that these are living. But we don't have a text that there is somebody went into a tunnel someplace and he's still hiding there and he's supposed to come and he's alive in that tunnel. This doesn't work this way. But our portfolio of al-Mahdi is someone from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who will be asked.
Okay.
And he will say no.
Excellent.
So, and finally, he will accept.
Excellent. So we've clarified that misconception.
Under pressure.
Okay.
Yes.
We've clarified that misconception. Now, let's come back to the subject you were talking about, the fact that the Mahdi will be around and there will be a fight of the...
Okay, the Armageddon, the battle.
The battle.
Then the battle will end. The Muslims will win that battle.
Okay.
Now, Shaitan is going to be so angry and upset. Muslims, don't rejoice. I released my big piece here.
Okay.
La tafrahu. Don't rejoice. Al-Hadith Akhli Fisal is Muslim.
Okay.
The top of the line of authenticity. We're not making up that stuff. Hadith Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And this is what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud meant by what? The hour will not come until what? You don't rejoice over winning spoils of war. You just won a major battle.
Okay.
And you could win a lot of spoils of war, but yet you're not going to rejoice. Why? Because the Antichrist is out. You have to deal with the greater fitna now.
SubhanAllah.
Now, the Imam of the Muslims, based on that hadith, will send 10 horsemen. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at this.
Salaam.
Wallahi, by Allah, inni la'a'lamu asma'ahum. I know their first names. وَأَسْمَاءَ آبَائِهِمْ
Okay.
And the names of their fathers. وَأَلْوَانَ خُيُولِهِمْ And the color of their horses. فإنهم خير فرسان الأرض يومئذ. They will be the best of the horsemen in the face of this earth at this time, because they will go. The reason why the Prophet said this, because you're not supposed to go to Dajjal, but they will go in order to verify whether that claim or announcement made by some shaitan in the battlefield is authentic or not. Some wording says they will not. Some wording says that he will actually be out, and then the whole Muslim world will be now facing that great fitna which you refer to. Every messenger warned his people against.
SubhanAllah. So one trial after another.
Yeah.
Sheikh, I want to just touch on something here, is that the word Masih itself, it's used in two contexts. We use it with Isa alayhi salam, and we use it with the Dajjal as well. Why do we use that word like that?
المسيح with Isa عليه الصلاة والسلام, because he wipes over the sick. We know one of the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to Prophet Isa عليه الصلاة والسلام is to heal the leper and the born blind.
Okay.
And he always said بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ
right.
By the permission of Allah. You know, so Allah given him that power. How he would do this, he would wipe over them and they will become cured. So this is where al-Masih gets that title.
Sure.
As for al-Masih, and again I want to make sure that the viewers understand this, the word al-Masih with a kha never been established.
Okay.
So al-Masih, why? لِأَنَّهُ يَمْسَحُ الْأَرْضِ.
Right.
Because he will travel all over earth.
Okay.
The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in authentic hadith that he will not leave a piece of earth, but he will basically travel to in order to deceive and invite people to disbelieve in
message.
Allah. Yes. The second meaning of al-Masih, one side of his face is even.
Okay.
There are different wording, whether it is the right or the left. The right is more authentic. That's what's mamsuh al-wajh, yani his face will be even, and there is a defect in his eye over that as well.
Okay, excellent. Sheikh, the word itself, the Arabic word Dajjal, what does that word mean?
Dajjal is lying. The word Dajjal, okay, that you cover the truth with the colorful things.
Okay.
Dajjaltul ba'ir. That's the meaning. That means I covered the actual skin of the camel with another skin. This is when you cover the truth with falsehood. And this is what the Antichrist will do.
Okay.
And by the way, Dajjal already exists, because the people out there who, again, remember Brother Junaid, the previous episode.
Sure.
We spoke about the disciplines and the manners and the rules, basically. It's not just manners. The rules according to which we deal with the text. We have a lot of people who say that Dajjal is not an individual. Rather, it is a phenomenon, or what is the word? A phenomenon.
Yeah.
Is the spread of lying and deception, basically.
Sure.
That is true. Actually, that will happen. Well, that is it. Ad-Dajjal, the guy that we're talking about, will be preceded with a lot of Dajjalin, with a lot of deceivers. But okay, small ones, you know. So small ones will lead to the major ones.
So lots of small liars.
Yes.
And will then lead to the big liar.
Will bring you the big liar. And okay, this is what is meant by Ad-Dajjal, with the definite article Al-Dajjal.
Okay. Yeah. And Sheikh, when you say lots of smaller Dajjals, are we saying people that are claiming prophethood or claiming that they are Allah?
Multiple. Claiming prophethood, claiming that they know the unseen, claiming that they can help you, they can benefit you, and people getting to believe this. Certainly. Or lying, you know, once it comes to the dunya as well. So any field of lie would certainly lead to this bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, yani will, by the permission of Allah.
Okay, excellent. Sheikh, I would like to get you made mention of it already with the definition of the word Dajjal. What does he actually look like in some more detail? We know about the eye. What about his color, his height, his weight? What is he?
You see, all this is available. Let's get to the essence of the fitna here,
okay,
Brother Junaid, if you allow me. You know,
sure,
I love you for the sake of Allah. And, you know, it's a very interesting conversation, okay, that we always have. You see, why Dajjal is the greatest fitna.
Sure.
Because he is after your tawheed.
Okay.
Your monotheism. And this is why, by the way, to protect yourself from that fitna, you must be very well versed with tawheed. I tell you something very interesting, fascinating. Okay. And a lot of the viewers may not connect the two. Imagine in context of warning us against the Antichrist, al-Masih al-Dajjal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us this statement, أَعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ لَن تَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ حَتَّى تَمُوتُ. Be certain that you're not going to be able to see Allah unless you die or until you die.
So what's the connection with
what
that
is the relevance
and our subject
between the two? Ah, here we go.
Okay.
Here is a man who comes walking into this world, who claims to be God.
Okay.
And by the way, he's going to come at a time when there is financial crisis, food crisis, water crisis. Hadith al-Hakim fil Mustadrak that basically there will be starvation.
Okay.
That is why we read in a lot of the hadith that he will have a mountain of bread, meat and bread and water and all of this following him.
Is it right that, Sheikh, that prior to him coming, 3 years of severe drought?
Yes, you got it. Hadith al-Hakim, yes.
Okay.
3 years of drought. The first year, Allah will command earth, withhold a third of your, the second year, two-thirds, the third year. So there will be starvation.
Okay.
So he's going to come and offer financial solutions.
So people are going to be desperate.
I'll give you the world.
Okay.
You want the world? I'll give it to you. Didn't we read that he will pass by the desert and he will turn it into green? Didn't we read that he will turn the rocks into gold? Huh? Do you want the dunya? But in lieu of what? In return, what do I get? Your tawheed. You believe that I'm Allah.
Okay.
Now, the fact, and this is the relevance between the statement of the Prophet ﷺ and the Antichrist, the fact that I'm able to see you, I'm not talking to you in person, but this is the Antichrist. Look at the Antichrist. The fact that I'm able to see you, Mr. Antichrist, that means you're a liar. Because I'm not, okay. If you're truly God, I shouldn't be able to see you.
Sure.
We cannot see Allah in this world. We cannot. We will see Allah, inshallah, if He wills, in the Day of Judgment. And for sure, bi-idhnillah, may Allah make us all amongst the dwellers of Jannah.
Okay.
But we're going to see Allah, you understand? But in this world, so the fact that you're able to see this man in itself refutes the fact that he is telling the truth. Add to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed defect in the most important limb of the body. When you look at an individual, where do you look first?
In the eyes.
And he places a defect right here. Man, look at this, Junaid. You're claiming to be God, and you're giving me two eyes? Go fix your eye, man, if you're claiming to be.
He's deficient.
The created, I'm created. I was given two eyes. You understand?
Of course.
So the created is better than the creator. I'm assuming, hypothetical, that he is God here. So you're giving me two eyes, and you have one eye? Go fix your eye, Mr. Dajjal. So these are crystal clear signs. But yet, subhanAllah, Brother Junaid, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us, don't come near him. If he is in town, leave. Call your travel agency and book a one-way ticket away from the guy. Because he will get to you. He will convince you.
Okay, very interesting discussion there. Sheikh, it's okay, you can point in this direction, it's okay. I haven't claimed anything yet, not Mahdi or no prophethood yet.
Allah <Al-Ustah. laughs>
Okay, so Sheikh, I want to understand here that, you know, you make mention of Tawheed, and we've said that many times, that the coming of such a big beast like the Dajjal himself, for the challenging of your Tawheed, why is Tawheed so critical, and what do you mean exactly when you say Tawheed?
Ad-deenu qisman. The religion of Islam is two types.
Okay.
Two pieces. Two components.
Right.
Al-ilmu billah wal-amalu lillah. That you know who you worship. Who's your God?
Okay.
And then al-amalu lillah, that you work for this God. You serve this God.
Sure.
Now, a portion, and the Antichrist, by the way, comes in that area. A portion of Tawheed, your knowledge of Allah, is the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
Imagine, Brother Junaid, there are some Muslims, let me be fair, extreme Sufis, who believe that Allah can be seen in this world.
Right.
Actually, Allah can come into their into their form. Or those who believe wahdat al-wujud, that the all of earth is God. You understand?
Okay.
So now, if you have crystal clear methodology of understanding the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the first three great generations, you know for certainty that you cannot see Allah in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be seen. And we have someone who actually requested to see Allah.
Okay.
Just to give you the context of that story. In Medina one day, a Jew and a Muslim quarreled.
Sure.
So the Muslim kind of hit the Jew. The Jew came rushing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, complaining about the Muslim. What is wrong? I said, وَالَّذِي اصْطَفَى مُوسَى, by the one who preferred Musa above all the messengers. And the Muslim got upset and he said, وَالَّذِي اصْطَفَى مُحَمَّد, by the one who chosen Muhammad above all the messengers. The Muslim got upset and he hit him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though we believe أنه سيد المرسلين, he is the leader of all the messengers,
the best of mankind,
but yet his humility and humbleness and his love and care for his brothers, the messengers before him, he said, لا تخيروني على موسى, don't you dare place any preference between me and Musa, even though we believe that he is better than Musa sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Okay.
بالنصوص. But yet he's telling us why, because I will be the first one earth will split open, الحديث البخاري, will split open and I will rise from beneath the ground and then I will see Musa holding one of the pillars of the throne.
SubhanAllah.
I don't know whether he rose before me or whether he was amongst those who are exempt from the shock.
Okay.
The as a result of the blow and the trumpet. Now the scholars of the hadith, they tell us what Musa was shocked in this world when, وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the desert of Sinai.
He wanted to see him.
Yeah. No, not to see Allah.
Okay.
Oh, he made the request, but we know that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam spoke to Allah from behind a veil.
Of course.
Which is the fire.
Of course.
For you and the viewers to grasp this, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, wal-hadith sahih Imam Muslim, he said, قام فينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بخمس كلمات. One day the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stood up and he delivered a beautiful sermon made of five statements. إن الله لا ينام ولا ينبغي له أن ينام يخفض القسط ويرفعه يرفع إليه عمل الليل قبل عمل النهار وعمل النهار قبل عمل الليل. Here is what I'm looking for. The fifth one, حجابه النور. The veil between Allah and us is made out of light.
Okay.
ولذلك أبو ذر الغفاري رضي الله عنه, when he asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, هل رأيت ربك ليلة المعراج, did you see your Lord the night of the ascension, قال نور أنا أرى. Light, how I'm going to see him.
Sure.
So the veil between us is made out of light. In the wording of this hadith, Abu Bakr was there when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم delivered this sermon. Abu Bakr was there. Abu Bakr said, he narrated the same hadith. He said, حجابه النار. His veil is made out of fire.
Okay.
And this is the fire which Musa spoke to Allah from behind. What did Musa see in the desert?
Of course, the fire.
The burning bush, they right. call it, right? That's where Musa. So, you see, Musa got influenced by Bani Israel because Bani Israel kept telling Musa, لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا. We'll not believe what you're telling me unless we see Allah. You see, so he got so influenced by them and he said, وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِقَاتِنَا وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ, he said, what? Oh Allah, can you make me, but look at his request, can you make me see you? قال لن تراني. Allah said to him,
okay.
لن تراني ولكن انظر إلى الجبل فإن استقر مكانه فسوف تراني. But look at this mountain which is mightier creation than you. I'm going to show myself to it. Rasul Salam in Muslim, Imam Ahmad did like this. The veil was lifted that much.
Okay.
That much. The mountain crumbles and Musa alayhi salam fainted. And this is why he will be exempt from the faint, from the unconsciousness in the hereafter. SubhanAllah. Are you grasping this?
Okay, it's
I'm
excellent.
Too fast.
No, no, you are perfect, Sheikh.
I'm too fast.
No, no, no,
I'm
not perfect. No, no, mashallah, your explanation is perfect.
I'm not perfect.
Your explanation is perfect. Before anyone makes a claim.
All right.
Thank you very much. So, dear viewers, on that note, we're going to take a short break. A very interesting discussion here, a very serious one, but at the same time, we are looking at it from different angles of the discussion of the Dajjal. And we, when we come back from the break, we want to have a look at from where will the Dajjal appear, where will the Mahdi appear, and also, what about Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, where will he appear, and what about the trials of the tribulation taking place in and around those areas where they will appear? We will make that connection when we come back after the break, so join us in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, dear viewers from around the world joining us here on our live program on Huda Tonight, where we have a very special topic. We are talking about the coming of the Dajjal. We've talked about so many different aspects about this particular subject, about the Dajjal himself. We want to move forward now and look at where he's going to emerge, what circumstances or the other, those around the Dajjal are going to emerge as well. Sheikh, if we can come back to our discussion, very informative discussion so far. Where is the Dajjal going to emerge from?
Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned Bergia.
Okay.
That area, which is known now by Iran.
Okay.
That's the area where he will emerge.
Is that what Khurasan? Is that what right?
Yeah, that's the area in that neighborhood there.
Sure. Okay. And what about then the connection? Because we have the Mahdi, which is prior to the Dajjal, and Isa, who's going to come after as well. What? Where are these two going to come from?
You see, Shia Rawafid, they are in that area.
In Khurasan.
In Khurasan. Now they believe that their Mahdi is hidden in a tunnel.
Okay.
So this is really the Antichrist that they are waiting for.
Right. Interesting. And we believe he's alive.
Yeah, and we believe he's alive.
So we have something in common.
Yes. Okay. It's a very interesting.
Okay.
Of course, the Christians are waiting for Isa.
Okay.
To come back.
Okay.
But which Isa? What portfolio? The portfolio, the Pauline theology, if viewers would know what I'm talking about, the distorted version of Isa.
Okay.
The Son of God, the one of three, the one who will come, and you know, so they are waiting really for God.
God's going to come
Christians,
back.
Yes. Okay. Well, Isa for them is God. They, you know, they distorted.
Sure.
You see, Isa never, alayhi salam, never preached that.
Sure.
It's a guy called Saul or Paul, who really the self claimed disciple of Prophet Isa, the 13th disciple, who never met Isa.
Okay.
Rather, he had one of these. Extreme Sufis kind of experience. He said, I was traveling in the desert and I saw a light, and God spoke, Isa spoke to me, and he told me, you know, one of these
I call it sci-fi.
Okay. Well, you call it spiritual, I call it sci-fi.
Right.
Now, you know, they ended up making Isa to be a god, correct? So they are waiting for someone who will claim to be a god. Who's going to claim to be a god?
Okay.
Who?
The Jinn.
The Antichrist. Now, talking of the Jews, you know, it's very interesting. This is like, that's why it's a big fitna. You see, Jews, Bani Israel, when Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam initially came,
okay,
they were actually occupied by the Romans. And it was written in the scripture that a Messiah will emerge, will come to help them out. Guess what? Isa was the Messiah.
Right, okay.
But they refused him. Why? Because according to Jews, the portfolio, and I keep using that word portfolio, basically the biography or the definition of a Messiah for them,
sure,
a deliverer for them, always they depict Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam. Sure. Someone who will come with a stick, okay, turn the sea into a bridge, we're thirsty, here is water, we're hungry, here is food. So when Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam initially came and he started preaching that Ihsan kind of religion, If your enemy slaps you here, then give him the other cheek. Like, this is what you know Christians would say. Walking around the desert, calling people to monotheism.
Sure.
Wearing sandals and slippers, and he's living that hayatul zuhd, that life of
very simple, basic.
Simple.
Life.
Basically, he wanted to rejuvenate their spiritual lives. He wanted
right.
To get that essence of the religion out.
Excellent.
Because Jews at the time, when initially Prophet Isa alayhi salam emerged, they were so much into the love of this world. They turned the religion really into a financial institution and so forth. Now, they rejected him, and they actually attempted to kill him.
Okay.
And they believe they did.
Okay, interesting.
To some extent, actually, where the Muslims are telling me, you guys didn't do it. He did not do it.
Sure.
Because Allah raised him up. Now, who's going to come and fit exactly the portfolio of that deliverer, of that Messiah? The Antichrist. Because the Antichrist is going to tell the heavens, rain. He's going to turn the desert into green.
Right, okay.
So he will match their expectation. So they will end up following the Antichrist as well. Now, who is left? Muslims. Muslims who are lovers of this world. Muslims who do not know Tawheed. Muslims who are longing to have this world, they will follow the Antichrist because they want financial solution. The only people who will stick to the truth are the people who are sticking to monotheism, to Tawheed, and they do understand exactly the signs of the hour and how they will unfold. They read the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They sat in front of scholars and they learned it. They didn't hear these guys and videos and telling, reading these signs for them according to their imagination. People who learned their deen, you understand? So knowledge of tawheed and knowledge of these trials and tribulations will save you from the fitna of the Antichrist, plus following the steps which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us to do. Now, we know that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Mahdi initially will come from Medina,
okay,
and he will flee to Mecca, and out there between al-Rukn wal-Maqam, between the Black Stone and the station of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the people will come and give him allegiance, and he forcefully will accept this under pressure.
So he'll be recognized.
Yes, he will be recognized. Now, as for Dajjal, he will emerge from an island somewhere.
Okay.
And he's hidden in an island somewhere. As for Prophet Isa alayhi salam, who will come and help Muslims
right.
to get rid of Dajjal, and we're going to come to this in a minute, he will descend. Again, we'll go back to Syria. This is why Syria is the key.
SubhanAllah.
Syria is the key. And it will stay the key. And it will not die. Syria will go back to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And will be the headquarter of the Muslims.
Okay.
Whether they like it or not. When Bani Israel, asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a bunch of questions. and he told them the truth. And he said, well, initially when they questioned him, he said, if I answer you by Allah, will you follow me? Will you accept that I am the messenger of Allah? And will you believe in my message? They said, sure. Then they kept answering him, asking him questions, and he gives them the identical questions. And they actually would say, yes, this is what is written.
Okay.
This is, then at the end, in order for them not to believe, they said, من يأتيك? Who visits you? قال جبريل. He said, هذا عدونا. This is our enemy. Jibril is our enemy.
Their excuse.
And this is what Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلَ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلْهُ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَهُدًى وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَائِيلَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ.
What's wrong with Jibril?
Jibril. I mean, here's one of the most beautiful explanation, and this is connected to what I wanted to say. They learned from their scripture that Nabuchodonosor, isn't that the ruler who will come and basically destroy Bani Israel?
Okay.
So they sent somebody to assassinate him, to
right.
kill him.
Right.
So there is that guy who was written in the scripture, who will come and will be the reason for the destruction of their kingdom, okay, the Bani Israel kingdom.
Sure.
So they send somebody to kill him. They say that Jibril met him on the road, on the way. I said, okay, where are you going? He said, I'm going to kill this guy because this guy is going to be the reason for the destruction of our kingdom. He said, isn't that written in the scripture?
Okay.
That means it's going to happen. You cannot stop it. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Okay.
So Syria is going to be the headquarters. It's written.
SubhanAllah.
You claim what you want to claim, but Syria will stay the headquarter of the Muslims, where Prophet Isa alayhi salam will descend, near the white minaret in Damascus. And SubhanAllah, Brother Junaid, this is one of the essence of learning the signs of the hour. The white minaret did not exist until the 700 years after Hijrah.
SubhanAllah.
There was no such. Damascus was not in the Muslim world. I mean, it's still Damascus. Yarmouk happened years after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and during the reign of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. But yet, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam will descend in Damascus near the white minaret.
So SubhanAllah, Shaykh, there is lots of events that are connected to Syria, or Sham,
yeah,
the white minarets, the descending.
But again, let's be disciplined here.
Okay.
Because brothers, sisters in Islam, dear viewers, these events happened before, during the Tatar, the Mughal, during the Crusaders. This is just another cycle. Now this could be the final cycle, but it could be another repetition.
Sure.
So we cannot be sure. Had a ghaib. But certainly the scenario that we're having right now is a perfect scenario.
Sure.
But these scenarios also were perfect scenarios. So we just.
Sheikh, a side note, I'm just very intrigued with this question. Why is it the case that like certain powers or institutions, these conspiracies of trying to remove Ahlul Sunnah from Syria, why is this such a united effort to do that? What's the game?
You, Junaid, they want to do exactly what they done to Christianity.
Okay.
And listen, take it from me, akhi, wallahi, and I say it for the sake of Allah. The West is certain that Islam cannot be removed from the face of the earth. They can't. They are certain, the Western world, the Christian world, the Jewish world, they know that you cannot remove Islam. Now what they want the virgin they want.
Okay.
They want to develop like Paul developed a new Christianity. They want people who carry the name Muslims and Islam to come up with a new virgin.
Okay.
Of Islam. That's why you have them over a hundred of them meeting in Grozny, Chechnya, 3-4 months ago, defining who are Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ya okay. Salam. As if we don't know who are Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We know who are Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. No, they are going to define who are Ahlul Sunnah. And here is the funny piece. They tell you Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are who? في الاعتقاد, once it comes to the belief system, الماتريدي والأشعري. الماتريدي والأشعري. When الماتريدي and Abu Mansur الماتريدي وأبو الحسن الأشعري. For your information, Abu الحسن الأشعري at the end of his life said, أنا على ملة أحمد. My belief system is like Ahmad ibn Hanbal.
Okay.
Now, here's the funny piece that makes you really laugh. But once it comes to the practicality of the religion, practicing the religion, then we follow the four schools of thought, al-madahib al-arba'ah.
Okay.
Mean Abu Hanifa, Ahmad, al-Shafi'i, Malik.
Right.
So, we follow Abu Mansur al-Maturidi, or Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, who they came years after these four imams, yet we follow the imams in the area of what? Exercising and practicing the deen. طيب, what is the aqeedah? What is the belief system of Ahmad ibn Hanbal?
Okay.
What is the belief system of Abu Hanifa? What is the belief system of didn't hear about Ash'ari and Maturidi? These guys were on the way of the messenger and his companions. It's a funny world. But answering your question, they are trying to redefine Islam, to introduce a new version of Islam
okay.
that is appealing to them like Christians did to the religion.
But Sheikh, one could rebuttal what you're saying, because this version, as you're claiming, is of Islam, has a lot of followers. They have the most followers. So can't we say that if they
My response is in that subject.
Okay.
Dajjal will have the most followers in the face of this earth.
SubhanAllah.
قَالَ تَعَالَى وَإِنْ تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you follow the majority of people in earth, they will misguide you. Dajjal will have the majority ever followed. He will be the most followed individual ever walked in the face of this earth. But is he on the truth?
لا. Okay.
لا. Listen. الحق لا يعرف بالرجال.
Okay.
ولكن الرجال يعرفون بالحق. And this
sure.
is a statement which was made by Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه. اعرف الحق تعرفه. Learn the truth, you will know who's on the truth.
Okay.
Don't try to define the truth through the people. لا. Define the people through the truth.
Excellent. Okay, excellent, Sheikh. We are coming towards the end of the program, but I want to really touch on two things very quickly. The first and foremost is the death of the Dajjal, in order to give this topic a conclusion, and then we'll talk about...
SubhanAllah, the Dajjal. You know, we always hear these guys talking, you know, the evilish in the world, when they want to really give us a hard time. Say, okay, we're going to bomb Mecca and Medina.
Okay.
We're going to bomb Mecca and Medina. We're going to bomb it. That's the ideology of Dajjal. Dajjal, when he comes into earth, for him to defeat Islam and Muslims, guess where he's going to go to?
Mecca and Medina.
Mecca and Medina. That is exactly the same methodology.
So what will he do when he gets there?
Well, angels, get out of here, young man. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Okay.
You're not to enter. And actually, one of the students of knowledge in Medina, one person, will come out to challenge him, and he will cut him into two halves, and he will walk in between, and he will put him back together by the will of Allah. You see, this is actually Dajjal also is a message to a lot of people, because these days we end up having these guys doing these supernatural things.
Okay.
Imagine this. Oh, ya akhi, I saw this guy. He's Sheikh Tariqa. He put the needle in his stomach, and he walks in water, and he... Look at Dajjal. He's able to do all of this. If you look a man walking in water, fly. The Imam Shafi'i said this. If you see a man walking in water, يمشي إذا رأيت الرجل يسير على الماء أو يطير في الهواء أعرض عقيدته على القرآن والسنة.
Okay.
Judge him according to the Quran and Sunnah. Even if he's able to do it, Dajjal is able to do all this stuff.
Okay.
He's rain. It will rain. That it means he's in the truth. This man, will he is put back together again, he will look at him, by Allah, I only increased in certainty that you are the liar, the imposter, the deceiver, the Prophet ﷺ warned us against. With this, Dajjal is going to proceed to Jerusalem,
okay,
to Palestine,
okay,
where the army of al-Mahdi is there. Basically, the force of he cannot fight, and actually he's going to barricade himself there. Look at this scene. In the morning, where the Muslim, few Muslims who are supposed to fight the Antichrist.
Okay.
In that morning, they are about to pray Salatul Fajr.
Right.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Shadu al-Iqama. The Imam al-Mahdi is in front of the line about to lead the Salah, and he will look and he will see Prophet Isa walking into the masjid.
SubhanAllah.
And he will say to him, Taqaddam ya Rawhallah. Come, O Spirit of Allah, lead us of Salah. Look at this message now. Allah is sending us a message. No, I'm not here to lead. I'm a follower of Muhammad. Who?
Okay.
Prophet, because a lot of Muslims get deceived. What do you mean, Isa is going to come? Yeah, Isa is going to come to be a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he will say, no, you lead the Salah. I'm going to pray behind you. He's going to pray behind the Imam of the Muslim, which is an indication that he's not bringing a new virgin.
Excellent.
Of the actually, his job description, what he's the five or six things he's supposed to do, were mentioned in the hadith. After they finish the salah, then he will walk out and he will see Dajjal. Prophet Isa alayhi salam will be given that power, that his breath will suffocate any disbeliever from a distance, as far as his eyesight reaches. But when the Antichrist sees him, fil hadith, يَذُوبُ كَمَا يَذُوبُ الْمَلْحُ فِي الْمَاءِ, he will melt like salt melts in water. Okay. Prophet Isa alayhi salam will insist on striking him with the spear in order to bring the stained spear to the his to the army, the companions of al-Mahdi.
Okay.
And he will wipe over their heads and he will talk to them about the ranks of Jannah. You guys did good, mashallah. And this is what is meant. لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم كذلك. There will always be a group of my ummah on the truth. On the truth until Prophet Isa alayhi salam comes down to give them victory. And with this fitna will end.
Okay, Sheikh, and my last question to you. We've talked about the Dajjal, where he's coming from, and also his death, he's gone. But what is it that we can do in our lives to protect ourselves?
Tawheed.
Okay.
Iman. But not Iman al-Murji'ah. Okay. Not the Iman that they want. Allah is in my heart. My heart is white. Ya Sheikh, wallahi, my heart is so clean. I just don't pray 5 times a day. Ya salam. That's Iman is belief of the heart.
Okay.
The pronouncement of the announcement of the tongue, the statement of the tongue, and the action of the heart and the limbs.
Okay. Sheikh, is there anything we can read from the Quran or any
Surah Al-Kahf?
Which part?
The first 10 minutes, the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf.
Okay.
And another word in the last 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf. Reciting them will save you, certainly. The other thing is after the tashahud in the salah, you seek refuge with Allah from that fitna before you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Okay, so make a dua.
Make the dua.
Okay. All right, Sheikh. On that note, we have come to the end of the program. I'd like to thank you very much.
I always enjoy being with you, brother.
No, the honor is mine, honestly. I've never had a discussion of the Dajjal and laughed so much at the same time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you immensely for your courage and speaking very frankly on such an important discussion as well.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. I'll conclude and say Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Sheikh, what are we going to speak next time?
Inshallah, we want to talk about Isa.
Isa alayhi salam, okay.
Yes, but we want to talk about how he ended up to be God, how he ended up to be a son.
Okay.
And how non-Muslims are trying to make the same thing to our religion, but they will not succeed.
Okay, excellent.
Because Allah promised to save the deen.
All right, okay. So we'll prepare the viewers for that program. Thank you very much, Sheikh. And once again, I say assalamu alaikum. Dear viewers, we've come to the end of our program here on Huda tonight. SubhanAllah, an hour flies by. They say time flies when you're enjoying yourself. We had a beautiful, fruitful discussion on the topic of the Dajjal. So many important things there, factual stuff. At the same time, we looked at the events taking place inside of Syria. Like the Sheikh said, it doesn't necessarily mean that that is the event, but we can extrapolate and we can understand the importance of Syria, the importance of the white minarets, the descending of Isa alayhi salam. So many things that we as Muslims, as intellectuals, we need to think about. We need to believe in, and we also need to put into action. My dear brothers and sisters, I conclude, just like the Sheikh said, two things. Number one is the fact that we must read Surah Al-Kahf, the beginning 10 verses and the last 10 verses, must memorize those. At the same time, when we're in prayer, don't forget to make dua that Allah protects us from the fitna of the Dajjal. On that note, we'd like to conclude and thank you all for tuning in. We will see you on our upcoming episode of Huda Tonight. So until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.